Episode 38.
We have estimated that there's about 300,000 open jobs every day in the aftermarket, and we want to do what we can to help fill those with young, smart, qualified folks.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results On Point, focusing on a single topic with a guest who goes on point with the subject matter. A warm welcome to Kathleen Schmatz, President and CEO of the Auto Care Association. Kathleen, are you ready to go on point?
I sure am.
Hello, aftermarketer. Carm Capriotto here, ready for an on-point episode with Kathleen Schmatz, President and CEO from the Auto Care Association. Well, first, just a second on being a podcast insider. Sign up to get the latest news on every new episode. If you were signed up, you would already know about this great new episode. So go to my website, remarkableresults.biz. You can't miss the button on the homepage. It's yellow. Click it. And hey, join the tribe. Now, Kathleen Schmatz, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Auto Care Association. Before being named President and CEO on January 1st, 2004, Kathleen served as Executive Vice President. She joined the Auto Care Association after 30 years with Babcock's, a leader in aftermarket communication services. Kathleen is a nationally recognized advocate of the automotive aftermarket and a sought-after speaker and presenter. She's frequently interviewed by the media, appearing on the NBC Today Show, CNBC, and in the New York Times, and now on the Remarkable Results podcast. In 2012, she was honored with the prestigious Automotive Warehouse Distributor Association, AWDA, Automotive Leader of the Year Award. In 2009, she was selected to receive the Woman Who Advance Excellence in Associations Award by both the American Society of Association Executives, ASAE, and the Center for Association Leadership's Greater Washington Network. See the show notes on the website for additional honors and awards. Listen carefully as Kathleen talks about the future of the service sector and of ultra-technological A-plus specialty shops. She discusses Apex, the new Auto Care Association's job board, her retirement plans, member benefits, telematics, and consolidation, among many other topics we covered. Here's a side note. I reached out to our former podcast guests for questions for Kathleen, and they are included in my interview, so I thank them for them. And another side note. The show notes on the website will include the links to information Kathleen talked about on the interview. They include autocarecareer.org, the new industry job board, the link to Maintenance Mondays, and information on the new Apex General Session with Tesla's Louis Efron. His speech is titled Tesla Motors Magic, Why Purpose Matters Most. Kathleen Schmatz is very much on her game, funny and oh so passionate about the auto care industry. You're going to love this interview. Here we go. Kathleen, a few months ago, Michael Rukoff was a guest on the podcast and discussed Yang, the Young Auto Care Network Group. What are the Auto Care Association's effort on attracting young members to the industry?
The Auto Care Association's efforts to recruit young folks to the industry not only include our efforts at Yang and making sure that we are welcoming to that group, but we also have a big initiative on a job board, a nationwide kind of placement center, if you will, to link job seekers with folks who have jobs in the aftermarket. And this is, it's important to note there that this is not just technician jobs, Kim. This is marketing and sales, accounting, finance, the entire range of careers that this industry has to offer for young folks. And we have estimated that there's about 300,000 open jobs every day in the aftermarket.
That's huge.
And we want to do what we can to help fill those with young, smart, qualified folks.
So I'm a candidate, Kathleen. What do I do to learn about it? Or I'm a company. How do I post?
So you go to the website, and there's a link right from ours at autocare.org. And just follow the instructions there, and you will be on it. And if you're a job owner, you can post kind of an almost unlimited number of jobs on the board.
Thank you for that. That sounds exciting. Hey, how has the Automotive Aftermarket Products Expo changed over the years? Any great expectations for this year?
You know, the Apex is on fire, as a matter of fact. You know, we've been sold out for the past couple of years, three, four years. And we're sold out again this year. But what's important to remember is that Apex is more than just a trade show. It is it's a full suite of lifelong education events. There's more than 50 this year. It is preceded by the warehouse distributors, AWDAs, one-on-one meetings with executives, and it's a celebration of the industry. Kind of important this year is we have a new general session. The speaker, his name is Louis Efron, and he is head of global employee engagement and leadership development for Tesla. So he's a very important member of their team, and he is going to share with us his ideas on how to revitalize talent pools, how to retain your best talent, which is obviously an ongoing challenge for everybody in the industry. And the title of his address is Tesla Motors Magic: What Purpose Matters Most? And so that'll be Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. at Apex.
No doubt that's going to be a packed session. I actually can't wait to hear him also.
And that's free to attendees.
Wow, great. That's good news. Always love to hear about free. Kathleen, how important was the Connecticut legislation that happened recently requiring dealerships to provide a copy of the Magnuson-Moss legislation?
It was fabulous. You know, we fought for right to repair for about 12 years of my graying hair. And the Connecticut reminder by dealers that consumers do not need to return their vehicle to the dealership, and that will not void their warranty. It was a miracle. We went in there, we talked to the legislators and the regulators in Connecticut. Frankly, I don't think that the car companies were aware we were there, and because they didn't fight us too much on it. We have a number of other states, and as you know, Kim, you know, the motoring public is not aware of this legislation or their rights to take their vehicle where they want to for warranty. So it's a huge victory, and it's going to be a bookmark as we continue to fight for consumer rights and the rights of members of the auto care industry.
Kathleen, as you said, you've been around a long time, seen a lot. Let's mention industry consolidation. Where do you see it heading in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, industry consolidation is certainly a threat to the aftermarket, and frankly, a threat to consumers. Without the competition to keep everybody sort of on their toes, prices go up, as we know, and the aftermarket industry is not unlike other industries in this country, in that, you know, it's an attractive, durable industry, and so consolidations, mergers, and roll-ups certainly make sense. On the retail side, you know, we're down to certainly a handful of headquarters. I think that given the fact that Wall Street sees this industry as a safe harbor investment, that mergers and acquisitions will continue at the record pace that they are on, but But there's always going to be entrepreneurial entrants to this industry as as the technology changes, as the vehicles change, as our customers change. There will be new businesses that that respond actively to that. There will be disruptors, e-commerce, and other technological advances that will bring new entrants into this business. And even with a self-driving car, the vehicle itself will need repair. The vehicle will need some maintenance. And the auto care business is a long-term one for the globe, as a matter of fact.
That's a great answer, which kind of segues maybe into this next question. Where do you see the strongest growth and vibrancy coming from the auto care industry?
Well, certainly the embrace of technology is helping along an A group of repair shops, or A plus. They are technically sound. They are way ahead. I think that they may find themselves regional experts and servicing other shops. They could be diagnostic specialists. They could be black box specialists. You know that no matter what Detroit or Germany or Japan throws at us, the auto care industry always comes up with a solution on how to repair and maintain those vehicles. And I think that the growth will be in the ultra-technological diagnostic shop.
Great insight. Thank you. Well, I think it was in March 2015, you may have announced your retirement. Wow. What have been some of your biggest challenges?
Certainly, right to repair. The battle there was significant. I thought it was a David Goliath battle. The car companies, even in Massachusetts, outspent us about $11 for every one we spent, and we spent a lot over the years. We spent millions, certainly, but it was. It was something that had to be done. A lot of folks who I respect and very smart people encouraged me to drop it and move on. And we really couldn't, and I really couldn't. So we were committed to that. The association was committed to it. Our members were committed to it, and it was a 12-year postgraduate education in legislative operation.
So you earn your doctorate in that, right?
Oh, certainly, and more.
Well, that's a great comment. Now, what have been some of your proudest accomplishments?
I had the honor of working with a great team here at the association, and they're certainly all experts. You know, associations are staffed by a top-heavy group of true professionals, and they're very expert in their areas, and I loved working with these folks, and they have. Certainly a can-do attitude. The association grew significantly. Our budgets grew by more than 50%. Our resources quadrupled since the day I started. Member services grew, and we began to make a little bit of a dent in Capitol Hill's ignorance of our industry, and I am very proud of that, and proud of our rebranding, and then underlined our branding as we changed the name of the association and its strategic plan.
That's a big move. That, in fact, when I heard about that personally, I thought that was such a smart name choice.
Well, it's sort of obvious.
Yeah, but, no kidding.
But we hired experts. We did lots of research. It was all based on facts, so not emotions. And I think that puts the association in good stead going forward.
Now, What do you feel is a battle that's yet to be resolved that you're going to give to your replacement?
Oh, gosh, there's a lot. There's a lot. Telematics, though, is the most far-reaching and the most complicated. You know, it's like right to repair in that we believe that the data that your car throws out is owned by the owner of the car. And so in that way, the car owner should be able to decide where that data goes. Does it go strictly to a dealer, or can you direct it to your favorite aftermarket repair shop? But now it's not just the car companies that we're discussing it with. We're certainly talking to folks like Microsoft and Google and the big data companies who are very used to managing data and are smart about it and use it and develop all kinds of intelligence based on the data. So the target is a bigger one and a moving one, and as technology outpaces the discussions about ownership, I think this one's going to be a very thorny issue.
Very astute. Telematics, the new frontier. Yes. What are your plans after you retire?
Put my feet up.
Okay. Yeah, and then on day three, what are you going to
do? Well, I'm moving to Boston to be close to my family, and I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to look for some opportunities and be able to read the paper with a second cup of coffee in the morning.
I'm sure you'll be busy. Kathleen, who is your role model and why?
My daughter is my role model. She's the smartest person I know, and she balances being a mom and being a professional and being a wife and being active in her community. And she is really the best person I know. So ever since I met her a number of years ago, I've been impressed by her.
Great story. I love it. Kathleen, you mentioned the double A groups, the experts at the service sector. Are you concerned with the health or the capability of these independent service centers and how much their success or survival will impact the rest of the independent automotive aftermarket services?
You know, I'm not worried about them because, again, the durability of the industry is remarkable. I know that they will be so busy, and there may not be enough of them that consumers may lose their high opinion of independent repair shops, and that will be a challenge. The investment needed to be in that business and the commitment to training and retraining and retraining again is certainly a significant one. It's going to take big bucks. But I think, with that investment comes a very big reward for folks. So, I think it is the most important link in the whole business, and it's the smart ones are going to thrive and the terrible ones are already closed.
Do you still need letter writing campaigns to legislators from the auto care industry members?
Sure, we do. We need email writing campaigns.
Okay.
Emails count. And as a matter of fact, legislative assistants do count the emails they receive on various issues. Grassroots is the most effective legislative influencer of all. Not a talking head like me or lobbyists or attorneys who are hired by car companies, but customers and shop owners. Grassroots is it. Grassroots will change everything. It did in Right to Repair in Massachusetts, and it will always win the day in a legislative battle.
And who would have known the common man has a say in government?
Certainly does. Hard to get them to speak with one voice, but that's what associations are for.
Sure, sure. Now, speaking of that, do you feel that the auto care industry would be stronger and better off if service center groups like ASA and manufacturer distributor groups like ACA pooled their resources and fought certain battles to overcome industry challenges together rather than parallel to one another?
Oh, absolutely. The Auto Care Association is organized vertically. It's unusual for association to represent everybody in the supply chain, from shop owners to Fortune 100 manufacturers and everybody in between. But we think it's a strength. We think the speaking with one voice option is the strong one. Now, their association executives need to do what their members want. I mean, that's how they keep their jobs and that's how they thrive. So I have to believe that the members of some of the other associations, are comfortable being a standalone group. But I can tell you, if we would come together, we would save the industry millions of dollars, not only in dues, but in replicated services and legislative fights and marketing programs and consumer education campaigns like Right to Repair.
Has there ever been a sit down and a meeting of the minds?
Not since I've been here. The Auto Care Association and its predecessor, AAIA, that was formed by the merger of a retail-oriented association, APAA, and a wholesale-oriented association, ASIA. When those talks went on, it was originally going to be a four-way coming together, MEMA and AWDA. We're going to join, and that didn't happen. But two of them merged, and then AWDA came to our association soon after I came there, and my talks with them were certainly about resources and their relevance to APEX, and it's been a great coming together. So I kind of use that as the example of how you can come together with the association, but still maintain your separate brand and your culture, and that's, folks worry about that. Folks worry about losing that.
I remember when that happened, and that was a big move, and apparently now a smart move.
Well, I think I can tell you that our association is better for it, and I guarantee that AWDA is happy to be here.
Well, great, Kathleen. Out of all the member services, what's the program that your members say bring them the biggest benefit?
Legislative. Affairs, government affairs. No matter how many research projects we take on, CARM, the number one benefit when we ask folks that question is always government affairs, and that's at the state level, the very local level, and certainly the national level. All marketing is local, but all regulatory inferences, either statewide or federal, and legislatively, other industries have a better track record on supporting legislative efforts. The auto care industry is just beginning to understand their responsibility to support those efforts, and it takes money. This city runs on bucks, whether it's a $1,200 coffee or a $2,500 sandwich with a legislator, I mean, it's the way it is, and you can dislike it, but that's the way it works.
Okay, so you're telling me that Starbucks now has $1,200 coffee.
Well, you know, if you're invited to a fundraiser, that's what happens. And you'd be happy to have a Starbucks.
I hear you. Thank you. Well, there's the inside. We should do a podcast on the insides of Washington. Wow, we would all be flipped over.
Yeah, the IRS would probably take an extra look at my tax return.
Oh, great. Hey, let's go to the street. National Car Care Month happens twice a year, April and October. And how's it grown over the years? And any statistics on participating shops and the benefits that come from this?
I can tell you it's 10 years old. And last year was arguably the most successful year of all. And yet, you know, we don't think of it. It's not top of mind with the industry. And we need, this association needs to do a better job there to remind folks. But last year, there were thousands of, the car inspections and the interface Sure. between the public and shop owners. And Goodyear had a national program, Sears had a national program. Of course, Napa is always very active in those, and certainly other folks too. The Alliance is a very active supporter. I can tell you that without exception, every single shop who has put on one of these car check lanes has offered us the fact that they made more money afterward. They increased their customer base. Their communications with customers, particularly female customers, was improved. And so it takes a lot of work to put one of those on, but it is a neat way to stand out in your community and to underline your expertise to potential new customers.
And this is run by the Car Care Council, right?
Right. And the Car Care Council is funded by our association.
Right. I think we need to get a podcast soon to try to motivate more people to get involved in this program.
Well, it's a great program. And frankly, the association needs to speak a little louder about it. It's a real benefit. The Car Care Guide there's been millions and millions of those distributed. It's the new guide is in color, and it's certainly a vast improvement on the whole carcare.org website, and it is informative. It's active. We just need to market the heck out of it.
Well, great. Glad to hear that. In January 2014, a new program called Maintenance Mondays debuted on Instagram. What was the intention, and has it generated a lot of awareness?
You know, I don't know the numbers, but they tell me, my colleagues here tell me that it's a pretty popular sort of location. It's Larry Northup is the host of that. And Maintenance Mondays was the only alliteration we could think of, and so it's kind of a soft communication to brand new consumers, just car care tips and things that you could do in an afternoon or just to be aware of when you talk to the service writer at the shop.
I understand. Thanks. Kathleen, you made just incredible strides as a female in this industry. Do you have any advice for other females coming up through the ranks?
You know, I'm on my way tomorrow. I'm going to Denver for the Women's Board.
Yes, and do me a favor.
Sure.
Say hello to Amy Matnick, Diane Larson, Marianne Croce, Bogie Latiner, and Judy Walter, because they've all been on the podcast.
I will, and I will tell them how much fun that I had. I'm certainly honored to be selected to participate. Those guys are significant. You know, the Women's Board was founded in my living room about 20 years ago, maybe 25. And there were nine of us who who were jealous that we never played golf and that, you know, we didn't smoke cigars. And so we got together and it was a great opportunity just to meet like-minded women and to share business cards and all of that. But my advice is I don't mean it to be ironic, but my advice is that this is a great industry for women. It's a great industry for men. But if women want to rise, to find the right company, not necessarily the perfect job, but to find the perfect company, there's always changes and there's always room, and the right company will recognize your talents and then try to hang out with the boys.
What a great ending. I mean, I love it. You go out and hang out with the boys and smoke a cigar, right?
I guess. I'm not very good at the whole cigar thing.
That's a great story about how the women's board started. Well, Kathleen, I can't tell you. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart to spend just a little time with me on the podcast and to share your great story.
Well, I am delighted to do it. And, you know, I'm not used to being a geezer looking back on 40 plus years in the industry, but I can tell you it was a wonderful opportunity for me and one that I do not take lightly.
Thanks. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.